thought we were going to get some, like, funk slap bass.
If you can find some, let's do it.
I sent you some at one time. Or I thought I did.
I think you sent me the link of where I can find some, but okay. There's so much stuff on there, it's not even funny. All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint. Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool, and special returning guest right off the set.
You give me applause. We don't even mention his name, and I already give him applause. No one knows.
It could be just about anybody.
Just some guy with a green screen behind him, you know?
Right.
It's like that's a green screen within a green screen.
That's right. That's why I did that.
Yes. Very inception of you. So yeah, so Ben Blackman is with us. Now you put the applause on. Oh. It was just so silent there for a second. Yeah, Ben's been on here a few times before, and he is a Facebook ads strategist extraordinaire. Is that the correct trademark title?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. So there we go. But we're just going to be doing. Yeah.
He's got a podcast too. Is it Facebook?
Does he?
Facebook. Yeah.
Let's ask. Is that still going?
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, we should ask before. Before
there
we
are some
mention it
out there, so if people want to see it, hear it, it's out there.
It is out there. Facebook ads with the twang.
Facebook ads with a twang. Now, why the twang? Where did that come from?
Yeah, I don't know. Because you know, it just because Jonathan didn't like it. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually tried to talk you out of it, didn't I?
Yeah.
Stupid on my part.
Well, sort of. I mean, not. You don't really say things like that, but you said that about that particular when I suggested it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Jonathan's ruthless like that. So
yeah, he just cutthroat, man. Just,
yeah.
So well, today, what are we? Cardone. Huh? What?
Very what? Grant Cardone.
10X, baby. So we're going to talk today about a lot of things. We're going to be talking about the Cold War between Facebook. Actually, it's not a Cold War anymore. It's heating up. So we're talking about the war between Facebook and Apple and what that means to anyone who's advertising. What are the ramifications? What's the fallback on that? We're going to be talking about that with Ben.
And it's not just Facebook.
That's right. It's not just Facebook.
It's just that's getting all the press, but it's bigger. It's much bigger than that. Much bigger. Like it's everything. It's like the new Q is Apple security features.
Let's talk about Q. We get some get more listeners with Q and
Bitcoin.
Robin Hood.
Let's throw all the
Bitcoin
keywords in there.
Bitcoin. Robin Hood. Bitcoin.
GameStop.
I thought that was super interesting.
Yeah. Silver. Awesome. What else we got? All right. So I've got a couple things that I found. Kind of following up on last week's Super Bowl, right? So did you see? Here's a couple things. I found some numbers on who actually won the social media Super Bowl. So we'll talk about the numbers there.
Okay.
And I got my bullets here. Tom Brady's other win.
Oh, was that the drunken Tom Brady?
No, that was a loss there, I guess. But, we'll talk about it later.
I thought the streaker won. I thought he won the, he cashed out big time, didn't he?
He wasn't a full streaker though. They did have a glimpse of him.
Okay.
So
that's right.
Wait. There was a Super Bowl? People watched that? I didn't know that was a full thing.
No, there was a game. There was a game in the midst of a bunch of entertainment.
Yeah. Apparently the fewest viewers since 2007 though.
Yeah.
So for the record.
Okay.
We'll talk about Bruce Springsteen and his Jeep ad and kind of the what happened since.
Yeah.
And then Audi firing back at GM and the Will Ferrell ad.
Ooh, look at Sean, man, bringing all the news.
Nice. This should be interesting.
Yeah. Can't wait to hear about it. So that's all my 5 minute before the show research right there. It's all good stuff. All from one source. You just got to know the sources. That's the key to life. That's right. Your sources. Well, Ben, it's time for our beverages. So I know you like to start this section of our show. So you having water or green tea today? or something
I'm having my own homemade matcha green tea latte.
Matcha green tea latte.
With oat milk.
Oatmeal or oat milk?
Oat milk.
Oat milk. Okay. Gosh.
It's hard to squeeze that milk out of those little oats, but man.
But yeah, it just takes a firm grip to do that.
Like almond milk. It's really hard to milk an almond.
So what is matcha for our listeners that don't know?
Well, it's just a green tea leaf.
Okay. You know? It's a type of green tea?
Yeah, and it's super high antioxidant type. Some people would say that the caffeine in it is way too high, but yet most coffee's way higher, so I'm not really sure. Yeah. I guess it varies, though, by brand and so forth. So
it gets a little afternoon matcha green tea, matcha cafe, strubly something. I don't know what all you said.
I just got out of the Starbucks thing, so I quit paying them for it, and I decided to just make it.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they were using top ingredients. Like, I'm sure they were using top ingredients. But
no, absolutely not.
So how much did that save you?
$6 a time.
Wow.
That adds up, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah. That's like when I go to Starbucks, the only thing I get is a chai tea latte with, like, two shots of espresso. That thing's like $6.50 or $7.
Yeah.
So don't do that very often. It's usually like a flight or something, you know.
Well, it's not like they have a shortage of people wanting it, though. I mean, there's a line, you know, down the street of cars trying to get through there. So,
yeah, them and Chick-fil-A, they should just double up. Put like one on each side of the cars, you know.
That's exactly right.
Save time.
That's right. One window, two orders.
There you go. Yeah. I like it. We're on to some co-branding, right?
There you go.
I don't think those companies, though, are going to match well.
You don't think their values are aligned?
Yeah, I don't think that.
But or mission statement might be a little different.
Money may overcome that. I don't know.
It could. So.
Often does.
Well, Jonathan Taylor, sir, what do you have there for your beverage today?
Got my reading glasses, so I'll be able to actually read the label.
Nice.
Let me put them on here. I don't have those fancy, like, super thin ones like you do.
Yeah, those are nice, man.
All right, so I have on this, it is a...
my blue blockers.
Hap and Harry's. I think it's been a long time since we had old Hap and Harry on.
Yes, I remember Hap and Harry. It was bottles last time.
Yeah, but this is a their whiskey barrel. So,
$24.95 a can.
Not quite, but it's close. Let's see. This is just telling a story on the back, so let me get straight to it.
Story doesn't sell.
6.5% ABV, and it has zero IBUs.
Wow.
So, Hap Marlowe of the legendary Jack Daniel's family. Now, I didn't know that, right? Did you know this?
I think that was on our previous episode. Oh, okay. That was like 2 years ago. So,
all right. From Lynchburg, Tennessee, used to tell his friend Harry Lipman, to make great whiskey, you have to start with a great beer, right?
Of course.
It's a lesson that we should all...
you gotta be drinking.
As a tribute to this friendship, we selected Jack Daniel aged barrels to create our whiskey barrel ale. So this is aged in good old JD. I didn't see the JD. There's some cross-branding too there. I didn't notice, but they didn't put the label on. The Jack Daniel label's not on there. So,
all right. Well, I've got a beer from the Original Craft Beer Club.
Probably should pull them up, shouldn't we?
Sure. Is there enough room? There it is.
There we go.
Didn't catch your head off or anything.
I went the wrong way.
The camera's backwards on StreamYard. It drives me crazy. So this is from Zipline Brewing Company, inspired by Adventure Seekers. Zipline Brewing Company is locally mined brewery, crafting artisan ales and lagers with high quality precision in Lincoln, Nebraska. One of the finds that you could find on your doorstep from the Original Craft Beer Club, because they take all the legwork out and they just deliver that stuff right to you, man.
Right to
you. Pretty cool.
They deliver it to me, and then I get it to my dad because he's in
Kentucky. Really?
You can't.
Oh, you can't have deliveries?
That's right. But
wow.
Yeah, I sure does. I subscribed for him for his birthday. And
oh, what a very great, nice.
Great gift. Yeah.
And, what a great gift.
And you should mention, Sean, where can people find out?
PersuasionByThePint.com/craft beer.
Craft beer.
There you go.
Hashtag craft beer, not hashtag.
Hashtag craft beer, not hashtag. Backslash. All right. All right. So this is, I have a Zipline Nut Brown. So this is an English brown ale, 5.8% ABV, 28 IBUs. Resembling the changing leaves of autumn, this golden, amber, and brown specialty malts in this English-style brown ale impart a rich harmony of hazelnut and caramel. The nut brown is brewed with glacier and sterling hops and caramel brown chocolate and roast malts to create perfectly roasty flavor profile. Try pairing the Zipline Nut Brown with a decadent maple walnut cake that you just have laying around.
Do you have one of those laying around, Ben?
I do not, but Tamara did just make a like a cinnamon sugar like coffee cake or something like that.
So that'd probably work.
I can smell it downstairs. So, well,
you need to text her. Bring up. No, yeah. Don't bring that up. We don't want to see you scarfing down that while we're trying.
You don't want to hear that on the air either. So,
I just got my box from them. I've got six beers over here or something in the box. I don't know what they.
Kind of. Probably got the same ones I've got.
Do you have the box close by that you can show what the box looks like?
I can grab it.
Sean's got a YouTube. Box.
Huh?
Sean's got a YouTube video that we previewed.
Oh, okay.
Where we show people what it looks like. He did an unboxing.
Unboxing, yeah.
It's a plain brown box because, you know, you don't want people to know you're getting beer. So all the neighbors would be over then. So you don't want that.
Ooh,
what's it's not COVID that? Compliant.
All right, guys. All right. Look at this. Let me see. Let's hold your glass up. All right, let's look. Let's see Ben's coffee mug because he's always got a different one when he comes on.
Say no to add drama.
Say no to add drama, and then
the other side is just five steps to creating ads that convert, and it basically just says number five says skip 1 through 4 and hire me.
That's right. Okay, so you have to add that one. All right. Cheers.
Cheers. Which ironically, the only people that get that cup. Oh, sorry. Cheers.
Yeah, man. We got a sequence here. You're throwing everything off.
I threw it off last time, too.
So the only people that get that cup are people who already hired you?
That's right.
Yeah. So that's kind of funny. It's just reinforcing the buying behavior. That's good.
That's right.
Because they have to write a check every month, right, if they're going to retain
you. That's right.
Yeah. So you just remind them of those four steps when they have their coffee.
That's right.
All right. What's your rating on your matcha green latte strudel there?
What's the rating scale?
1 to 5 pints.
That's
coffee cups.
Pints. Yeah, coffee cups in your case.
This one, it's good. It's real good.
Did a good job.
It's smooth. Yeah, I mixed it right. It's what happened. A lot of times I don't mix it right.
Yeah.
And I got this little machine that spins it up for you because matcha is hard to mix.
Yeah.
And it worked out. So usually I don't do it right, but this time. So
instead of a Mr. Coffee, is it a Sir Mix-a-Lot?
Yeah. That's terrible.
That's pretty good, I thought.
Wait. Here we go.
That was a good 80s reference.
Late.
All right. Man, we need a producer.
Low budget, man.
Low budget.
I can't even get my teenagers to do this.
I know.
They're asking for pay raises and all sorts of stuff.
Okay. Can you imagine? Like, you'd have to take them to the optometrist afterwards for all the eye rolls that you would get during the show.
Yeah.
Be like strained an eye. It's like,
oh my God.
All right, so I'm going to give my nut brown ale here 3. Just kind of also ran.
3.
Not bad. It tastes a little bit watery, which I've never really tasted in a beer before. Like, I mean, unless you go back to the Bud Light days or something. But, yeah, it's got just a little, I don't know, just a little bit off.
Like Goble?
Did you ever have
Goble?
I did not. Is that like Keystone Light?
Keystone might have been a step up.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Never heard of Goebel.
Yeah.
They probably don't make it anymore. I guess. I
don't know. We're only in Kentucky, right? Mm-hmm. Might be a local Kentucky.
Maybe it wasn't even a brand. They could have just told me that.
You know? It was basically water with beer flavoring in it.
I grew up in a dry county, so, you know, any beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was illegal anyway.
Yeah. It was also the guy's last name that gave it to you, right?
So. That's right. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, let's, yeah. So let's talk.
I got to give my.
Oh, yeah.
Because
you're half done. I just thought you'd already done your rating.
Thirsty?
Yeah, I've almost drank it. But it's not, I'm kind of like you. This is flat. Like when I poured it, when I showed you, there was no fizz whatsoever. There was no head whatsoever. I mean, that was pretty much when I poured it. So it tastes kind of flat.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it actually even though it's a whiskey barrel, I'm going to give it like a 2.7.
Guess we should all be drinking matcha green tea from now on. Sounds like
it's a safer bet, especially with Ben Mason.
So. Yeah. Although I did have a backup bourbon here.
Oh, look at you.
So just in case. So, I was trying to decide before the show, do I go with bourbon? Cause we went to the distillery last weekend. I got a new bourbon or, go with the beer. Should have stuck with the, I don't know. Maybe that's throwing my palate off too. We'll see.
Sean, I was at Total Wine last night and picked up a Texas bourbon. I'm looking at it way over there, and I can't even remember the name of it, but I've never had it before. But it's unusual to see a Texas bourbon. So,
yeah, well, unless you're in Texas, then there's a bunch of them. So the one I went to, they're in Total Wine. They're just not nationwide yet. They'll be coming. They can't keep up with production at this point. Anyway. Yeah, there's good. They tend to be a little bit like smoky and peppery. Mm-hmm. The Texas bourbons, they got a little bit more heat to them.
Ah,
because you know, spices in Texas and stuff. Right. They like, nice. They like that little bit of burn. So, where do we want to start? We want to start with Facebook ads. I know we got a hard stop.
No, let's start with the ad wars. Kind of run down what's going on, and over privacy concerns and what that means for advertisers.
Well, I have a little bit of a different agenda.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh. Well,
I just need to share real quick and get this out. So two of possibly the best movies that have ever been made, as I was walking past, I didn't get to watch them, unfortunately, but have some of the best scenes of any movies were on today. One was Meatballs.
Okay.
Okay.
Two was Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
I agree with the second one.
Oh, now come on. Now Meatballs, Rudy was in that,
So Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I always get that messed up with Summer School.
No.
Which one had Spicoli in it?
Night and Day.
Jeff Spicoli's Fast Times.
Fast Times. Spicoli Fast Times?
Yeah. Okay. Fast Times at Ridgemont
High. Mr. Hand,
yeah, where he orders the pizza right there in class.
Yeah.
That's
right. Yeah, so he's the one that does the stress breaker.
Yeah,
right before the test.
Where I grew up in Kentucky, you know, there's only one movie theater, ripped up seats. I mean, you know, it was nasty, terrible, never got cleaned. Somehow made it into that movie, you know, at 12 years old or something, and totally inappropriate. And, you know, I was just going the whole time. So anyway, I just wanted to share that.
Now that's a nice story. So you got to segue that into.
Yeah. I don't know how I'm going to say Facebook ads. That has nothing to do with that. I'll have to circle back. So, all right.
Yeah. If it comes to you, you can just circle back. We can edit it and push things around, right?
Oh, good. That sounds good. Yeah, I forgot about editing. That's a good idea.
Yeah, makes you look smarter. Well, so these Facebook ad, these ad wars between Facebook and Apple right now. But first of all, kind of let people know that don't know what's going on and what's the big concern in your world.
So if, you know, for people who don't run ads or are very passive about it or here and there kind of thing, you probably don't know because it's probably not something you would know.
Yeah.
But there's a big issue where Apple has decided that any app developer, namely Facebook, but any other app developer, it's not just Facebook, now has to notify or give people the option with the update that's coming, give the option to opt out of being able to be tracked across third-party websites. So if you're an advertiser and you're trying to track people that come from Facebook on your website, they have to opt into that. Mm. And so the challenge, I mean, you can, there's some obvious challenges there. I mean, just by saying that, I know. And the way it currently reads, it makes it look like if you opt out, you're opting out of ads. Well, you're not opting out of ads. Facebook's going to show you ads whether you want them or not.
Sure.
It's just a matter of whether or not you're going to see ads that you might be interested in, from the standpoint of websites that you visited and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and they're limiting the number of ways companies can track you. Is that right?
Yeah, third-party companies. Now, Apple right. mm-hmm. can still do whatever they want. They're not limiting themselves.
Sure.
Only third-party companies. But unfortunately, Apple's trying to take the high road by saying it's a privacy thing, but yet they're not, and that's kind of Facebook's issue with it. They're like, so Facebook filed an antitrust suit against Apple because what else are they going to do? I mean,
yeah.
they don't really have a lot of choice. They kind of had to.
So let me ask this. How is this different? You know, a couple of years ago, every website you went to popped up the little thing at the bottom of the website that says, you know, accept cookies, we're tracking you, blah, blah, blah. And now everybody just clicks that button. They don't care. How is this different from that?
So the difference is it'll be immediately on the app and it'll be one time. So with that particular situation, you have to do it per website.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This situation, it's one and done.
Okay.
So it's not every time you log in, it's any app. I mean, it doesn't have to just be Facebook. It could be the YouTube app, right? It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But
yeah, Facebook's getting all the attention, but you know, Google app. If you use a smartphone, you have to go through an app to do anything. Right. So either the Google app or the Facebook app or YouTube or Twitter or whatever, you're going through that. So does that apply then to desktops or is it just apps?
Yeah, it's just anything that has to do with Apple. But the problem is that the way these things work, Facebook really can't separate it all out. Right. Oh, okay. It's going to work over here on desktop, or it's going to work on Android, but it's not on Apple. You know, they don't really have a good way to do that. So it's sort of all or none.
Yeah.
Kind of situation. I mean, yes, technically on desktop, they would still be able to be tracked, but if they have an Apple product and they're using, then they have to, they'll still be able to opt out.
So if your customers are, mostly iPhone users, which do you have to know the split right now?
Right.
Then typically like Apple and Android.
No, I don't.
60, I don't know how big.
Sure. We'll go with that. 60, sounds good. We won't say which is which.
There's only a 10% chance of that.
Yeah. It's 35% variance plus or minus whatever. It's just like the election. Whatever.
Results may vary. Some
results may vary.
That is not good.
Yeah. So okay. So it's not really. So it does affect the user a little bit, but they're not really going to notice much. It's really the advertisers that are going to be suffering. And why is that? Why are advertisers like? How is that going to affect me if I wanted to run ads to my webinar, for instance?
So I think that the just to kind of overview that a little bit before I answer that question is I think the way that I see it is that if you believe that the U.S. government has done everything it can to try to kill small business over the past year, well, now Apple's kind of doing the same thing. Now, they may not view it that way. They may take the high road, again, like I said, it's about privacy, but it really hurt. All it does is hurt small businesses. It's not going to hurt, the Amazon advertiser. Because they'll just spend more money, But for right. somebody who's running a webinar and trying to get people on their webinar, sure. the challenge comes in from a tracking standpoint. So now you're not going to be able to track, at least not in the way you've grown custom. And the harder thing, or the thing that will be a lot worse, will be, or as we say here, worser, yeah. is going to be the optimization. So, you know, whenever somebody opts in to whatever it is, a webinar, Facebook takes that data and tries to help you find more people that are going to opt in. Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. now they won't be able to do it, or at least not easily.
Right.
And definitely not in a the same time frame.
So. Yeah, I've been hearing that, you know, instead of, you know, almost instant results, now you're looking at lag times mm-hmm. to get feedback, yeah. You know, which kind of seems in the wrong direction for technology, right? Usually everything's yeah. getting faster.
It does.
So, yeah, you're not going to be able to make as good of decisions on your campaigns that are working, not working. I don't know, you know, maybe, you know, there's always unintended consequences, right?
Yeah.
Some good, some bad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I'm saying that, I also think, like, maybe that'll slow some of these advertisers down and make them think about 7-day value and 30-day value instead of, like, mm-hmm. 24-minute value. You know, like, oh, my God, I ran an ad that didn't work, instead of, you know, seeing what happens over 7 days. Now, that is harder, though, if you don't have the budget.
That's right.
I mean, you could burn through some budget and it not be working. Or you could burn through some budget and it is working, you turn it off too soon. Like it's going to add a little more fear to the equation for sure.
If you look at it, put it in some perspective, like just say YouTube ads, for example, you know, a mm-hmm. lot of times those take about 10 days to really figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And so that's and Facebook wasn't like that. It would be, you could do it a lot quicker. But now, you know, that's probably what it's going to be. You're going to have longer times, like you said, meaning bigger budget.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you telling your clients as this rolls out? What are you preparing them for? How are you preparing them for that?
First thing I told them is, this is awesome. Because from my perspective, I mean, this is great. Because a lot of people are going to exit.
Oh, yeah. It weeds out a lot of people that
right.
don't know what they're doing anyway, right?
Yeah. So if you consider the mass, that's exactly right, Jonathan. Exactly right. So if you consider the mass influx of people who are now marketing experts for one way or another, they're either going to have to figure that out, and they're going to be up behind the eight ball mm-hmm. trying to do that, yeah. right, or they're going to leave.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the odds are they'll probably leave. So for people who know how to write good ad copy and who know how to follow a system and how to market, that this will probably help them in the long run.
But, you know, this time when they leave, they're not going to be able to just jump ad platforms.
That's right.
Right? Because if this is across all apps, you can't just go to TikTok or Pinterest or whatever. You're going to have the same issue. So, yeah, it's like and I don't know if that's really – I don't know if that's really happened before, at least not recently, where you know, usually you could bounce from one platform to the next. But this is kind of an across the board online slap. And you go back to the old Google slap days. Mm-hmm. Kind of feels like it's an Apple slap instead of a Google slap, I guess. Has anybody coined that phrase yet? Apple slap?
We should probably get
that trademarked.
That's right.
First used it at 4:05 Central Time, Friday, February 12th.
We get on trademark engine. Here we go. Submit it.
Yeah. So, all right. So how do our listeners then, Ben, move forward with this? Like, is it just like, what's your top takeaways for people?
So my thoughts are, if you're running ads, I sat on a couple of webinars that Facebook hosted. And I've talked to people who, you know, who know more than I do, at least from the inner workings of Facebook, if there are such people, at least they tell me they are. And, you know, some of the key takeaways that I came up with is, one of the things that Facebook wants you to do is verify your domain, which what that means is that you're just basically letting Facebook know that you legitimately own the domain, right? So, you know, that'll help some, because they're, Facebook is trying some workarounds, but they just, the problem is you don't know if they're going to work or not. And I don't know if they're going to work or not, right? They're just not sure, but they want you to verify your domain, which you can search that, verify your domain on Facebook or, you know, whatever. It's not that, it's not too bad. It's a little complicated, but the other thing is to make sure that you allocate more budget and more time for your ads to see, you know, how they're working, and be patient. That I can't stress enough how much patience is going to play into this.
Yeah. And so, like a true ads management guy,
I know, you know, we say it all the time, right? You know, you got to test. Right? That's what we say. You got to test. Have patience. But I mean, now it's probably more true than it ever has been.
But your tests are going to have to be stronger. Like, you're going to want to, you know, I think that's one thing that a lot of marketers have gotten sloppy with, their copy and their tests and things like that, because it's so easy and so quick to test. You could just throw up anything and see if it'll work, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, if you go back to like space ads and magazines and direct mail and those days, like, you better, you know, it, you know, an ad in Men's Health or People Magazine or something like that, it's $30,000 for a page, and it didn't run for 3 months. Like, you better have some pretty good tests out there, because you only get one shot, you know? So it feels like we're kind of getting back to that standard again, right, where you have to have better copy, better creative. Yeah, it needs to match. It needs to be congruent. All the things we talk about, or else you're going to be throwing money down the toilet.
If there was, I mean, to what I tell my clients is, if you're going to improve anything, the number one thing I would work on is copy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, I think that's the number one thing that they could do to improve their ads and what's going to happen in the future. And I, you know, I recommend a couple of books to them and that kind of thing, but you know, I mean, that's it. But I, just kind of piggybacking on what you said, one of my clients, I didn't even know this until yesterday, but she has been advertising in a local magazine, and just, I didn't know this, but she's been crushing it. She didn't tell me that, but just been doing phenomenal. And that's the other thing is trying not to put all your eggs in the Facebook basket.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right. And be willing to look outside that, you know, even with things that aren't online, you know, I know that's a shock, you know,
but there are avenues still out there.
That's right.
That are not online. And I tell you what, it's been, I told my wife today, it's like, we lost power yesterday twice with our little ice storm we got going here in Austin. And then the internet, like Spectrum internet, has been out since like 4 o'clock yesterday, still out. So I'm using the tower and on the cell phone and all that kind of stuff, which seems to be holding up. But it made me realize like how dependent we are on the internet as businesses and, you know, all this stuff. And that's a dangerous place to be. Like, I was like, well, man, I could, you know, makes you want to be like a plumber or electrician or, you know, something that's still out in the real world. But even those guys now, all their lead gen is online.
Sure.
Except the guys doing local commercials and stuff like that, you know, that are still on TV and, you know, radio and things like that. But yeah, I mean, and that stuff's getting cheaper too. You know, radio, local papers. Jonathan, we should find like a remnant specialist to talk about how, you know.
A remnant specialist.
Yeah, so somebody that does remnant spaces on TV, radio, newspapers, things like that, like leftover spots.
Yeah.
Might be a cool topic for our online people that we have so much of. But yeah, I agree, Ben. It's like, if you can find the right type of magazine, and there's a lot of regional, trade journal type stuff, you know, depending if you want to go niche or area, you know, so that's cool. Now I'm curious who it is.
I'll tell you later.
So you said verify, you're going to have to verify domain. You're going to have to have more time, more budget, a little more patience.
Mm-hmm. Learn ad copy.
Ad copy.
Really, and I mean, that helps you across so many things, learning how to write good copy. I mean, it's not just about your ads. It could be about a post, or it could be about a letter that you're going to send to them. It could be about anything, you know, even how you speak to them, you know, because it really forces you to think about what your ideal client or customer's thinking.
Yeah. Right. And John, we should find a copywriter to be on too. That'd be good.
Yeah.
A decent one. Yeah, find a decent copywriter.
I was gonna say, I think we've got one.
I mean,
I need a good one.
I always tell my clients, I ask them. I say, "Do you remember broadcast fax?" And they're kind of looking at me like confused. I go, "Exactly." People were making millions off of that broadcast fax, and overnight it was gone.
Yep.
One day it was literally gone.
Yeah. It tends, you think like whatever's current is never going away. Like it feels like Facebook will never go away, and I don't know, maybe they will, maybe they won't, but you know,
is this going to, do you think it'll impact advertising, like the cost per clicks or anything like that? I mean,
my thought is it'll probably go down. Now whether it will or not, nobody knows, from the trends I'm seeing is, so even for those that don't know, contacting Facebook is always pretty much been impossible.
Yeah.
Right. Like you can't talk. So recently, and I'm talking, and I don't know how recent, because I don't know when this exactly happened, but I found out like yesterday or the day before, you know, most of the time I would contact Facebook doing chat. Now, not everybody can. Right. Not everybody's able to see that option. And I'm talking about for ads. Like you can't just contact them because something's wrong with your personal account, blah, blah, blah. But talking about for ads. And so what
you get a live chat with somebody with Facebook. Wow.
It's a live chat.
You should have bowed down to this guy. He's got
you probably do. Well, you might. I don't know. Yeah. They're probably blocking you, Jonathan. But
of course they are.
But they asked me what my phone number was, or they confirmed my phone number or something. And they said, "Okay, we're going to have somebody call you at 5:45. Mm-hmm. And I was like, they said, "So don't, you know, be ready to answer the call." So they have, now what they're doing is they're talking, they're calling. Mm-hmm. Now, the bad news is those people don't know any more than the personal chat. They can't do any more.
Right.
But you can talk to them. Yeah. So what I'm seeing is this shift of, hey, we better keep who we have, you know, and try to, you know, so.
Oh, absolutely. Customer service is going up.
Where are those people going to go?
That's right.
You know, it's like, man, where are they going to go? What's
going to happen? Some people are going to go to Pinterest or Twitter. They're going to try all these other things, you know.
Because they think, especially with the publicity, it feels like it's just a Facebook and Apple thing. That's right. When it's actually across, anybody that uses an app.
But so, you better get your TikTok game on there, Ben.
That's right. On the TikTok,
so. LinkedIn, all those things. But they're all apps. They're all app based. So, although I would say, you know, LinkedIn's probably has a higher desktop usage. But again, like you said, I guess it's going to be all or nothing. Like if you opt in. So,
and we need to make like listeners aware, this is all mobile, right? I mean, like this isn't going to affect you if you browse, like nobody uses like a desktop anymore. I know that, but everybody uses their phone and tablet, but this is all mobile related.
It's Apple related.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So yes, it could affect them on, we don't really know exactly how it's all going to play out. The problem is on the back end, right. Like Facebook doesn't appear like they're going to be able to support the tracking from the desktop if they can't do the mobile too. Right. Okay. Like it's kind of all or none. Mm.
So if you opt in on the app, if you got an iPhone, you opt in on the app and say, I understand the rules.
Sure.
Then it's probably just going to attach to your user ID on Facebook and have that rule across desktop or mobile. Right. That's going to be what's easiest for them. Weird. Cause I mean, they can separate that out cause you could buy ads based on desktop or mobile, but I don't know.
I think, I don't know this for sure. I think it has something to do with the tracking pixel.
Yeah.
And you haven't defined it for a specific domain, and then you have it. I don't really know exactly. But frankly, you know, Facebook must have said half a dozen times on the last webinar that they don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. Right. So, you know, I use some third party tracking apps that are meh, you know, and you just try to aggregate the information from two or three different places as best you can.
Yeah, because my understanding, you were going to be able to track what, like 8 events, mm-hmm. you know, per website. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like the more products and the more funnels you have, the less you're going to be able to track. Like if you only have one funnel, that's your, you know, bread and butter funnel sales, you know, your one service that you're really going after, this might not affect you that much at all.
Yeah.
But if you're an e-commerce store and you're trying to retarget every page that people land on, it seems to me that could be a lot more difficult.
And you're right to a certain extent that the challenge would be in that scenario is that the pixel won't fire or send the data back to Facebook if they've opted out. So regardless if it's only just if you have one funnel or not, it's going to be easier to track if you only have one. That's true, because where else is it going to be coming from, right? You're going to be able to see that. But for Facebook to get that data back into their system and say, oh, these people opted in, let me help you find more people like these people, let me optimize this for you, that's the challenge. So there are ways to do that.
Have we seen what the blurb that comes up when people log in? Have we seen that yet? What it says from Apple?
Yeah, it says,
actually, I'm looking at Tim Cook right now. He's got he actually tweeted this. It's been a little bit back, but it says allow Facebook. It basically just pops up for anybody that goes to iOS 14. It's going to say allow Facebook to track your activity, and it gives you the option of allow or ask the app not to track.
And see, mine's getting ready to be updated. It says it's going to update tonight. That's what this one says.
Yeah, mine updated this week, and
I don't know. I don't know if that's the update or what. But
yeah, they're definitely rolling it out, though. So
they said they were going to delay it a little bit until the spring. So I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like they're rolling it out a little bit because I did get my update this week. Yeah. All right. So the big takeaway is get better at copy. Mm-hmm. And what about organic? Like, do you think this brings back kind of revival of organic and email and those kind of things?
Well, yeah, because that's what people do, right? They'll go back to other things that were working or that they semi-work or they hard work before. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I do. Yeah.
Might even get some old direct mail going again. Who knows?
Yeah, well.
All right. Dust the old file cabinet off and pull out some of those. That's right. Pull out some of that.
Like we got the 3D mail, lumpy mail going again.
Yeah, I missed that anyway, so that's good.
Yeah.
Dude, speaking of 3D, I picked up a bunch of Rubik's Cubes this week. Do some lumpy mail with the old Rubik's. You guys remember those Rubik's Cubes?
Yeah. I used to know how to solve one. I had the book and everything that showed you how to do
it. You can get those cheap. You can order them out of some Chinese company and get like a... You get like a crate full of those things for next to nothing.
Yeah, lead-based paint on the inside.
Yeah.
You know, after a couple of turns, you know, they start to fall apart, but, you know, that's not the point. The point is you're getting your point across.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I even saw somebody today posting about some of the more well-known marketers kind of in our circles are going back to like, printed workbooks and things like that instead of courses, instead of like, you know, putting it in Kajabi or whatever. Mm-hmm. One for pirating reasons and two for, you know, I think it's a better customer experience.
Sure.
Yeah. Have printed stuff delivered and good Lord, the margins are so high. It's not like you can't print the stuff and send it out.
I got to show you this. Kind of, speaking of lumpy mail, I got a pair of socks this past week.
Look at this. All right. I was kind of worried about what you were going to show us. But
but no, this is from my mortgage company.
Nice.
Right? Tim Davis? So you open the... no, it's not Tim Davis. That was the first thing I thought of when I opened it. But just no, they put a little packet and they said, we're within or we're with you every step of the way, right? With a pair of socks. So
I
that's old school, man.
Love that.
That is old school.
Good for them.
And socks fit in that folder better than shoes would. So
that's right.
Good.
That's awesome.
Lumpy mail.
Well, Jonathan, I know you need to run pretty soon, so I wanted to hit on some of these other topics.
Yep.
But so one of the things that I was looking up, I was like, how did all this? You know, we talked a lot last week about a lot of the companies that were doing Super Bowl ads were driving people to social media. It was kind of a interactive type thing. So I was curious who did the best, and luckily somebody else had already done the research for me, so I didn't have to do it. And who do you think?
So lazy, Sean. Come on.
I know. Man. So I'm going to throw out the names in random order. TurboTax, these are all people that had like pretty clear social media or, you know, call to actions, things like that, or were just big features in the Super Bowl. So we had TurboTax, Doritos, Cadillac, Jeep, Pepsi, Fiber, Robinhood, Skechers, Pepsi, Mountain Dew, and T-Mobile. Who do we think had the most, had did the best? In other words, who added the most social media followers? And what do you this would be across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. So total. I was actually surprised how low these numbers were when we talked about the numbers.
So throw out those options again.
Jeep, Pepsi, Mountain Dew, TurboTax, Doritos, Cadillac, Fiverr, T-Mobile, Skechers, and Robinhood.
My vote's Fiverr.
Yep. Okay.
I'm going to say Robinhood, just because everybody likes a good train wreck.
Nope. Okay. So Fiverr and Robinhood, out of those 10 that I named, Fiverr and Robinhood were 8 and 9. So the number one was T-Mobile.
Okay.
Mountain Dew was number 2. And then Pepsi was number 3. And all three of those were pretty close. So how many new followers or like, you know, what I guess it'd be followers. They're calling it social audience impact acquisition. So whatever that means.
Mountain Dew.
So Mountain Dew is second. So how many do you think they added? And they spent what, 3 million, 4 million on this?
20,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 49,000. Which to me just if you do the math, that's a pretty expensive cost per like or follower.
I could have gotten for a lot less for them.
I know. I was going to say, you could just do a like campaign and get a whole lot.
They could have spent at least, you know, 50,000 less and given me the rest, and I would have gotten that squared away for them.
Yeah. So T-Mobile was number one, and they got 50,834 new followers across social media. Mountain Dew was second with their little contest thing. Pepsi was third at 46,000. Then it drops. Like Jeep got 14,000, and then it's just downhill from there.
But how do they attribute it? I mean, what if it was they? You know, I mean, I guess they know how many they get per day on average anyway. And then,
yeah, I think they looked at the beginning score. There's a thing here that says how they did it, but we're not going to get into all that. So I just thought it was interesting. I was like, you would think you'd get more bang for your buck.
Yeah,
with that much effort. Yeah. If you think about the cost of the spot, the cost of production, the number of man hours that went into producing the strategy with some of these big companies, how many meetings they had about this stuff. I mean, that's terrible return on investment.
It is.
Yeah. It's.
I mean, you could have.
See, my guess would have been Mountain Dew because of their interaction or the interactive, you know, way that they ran their commercial, but.
Which was a contest, which typically those are terrible leads too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you
because people are short term. They're just in it for the.
Yeah, let me throw a number out there. If not, I'll just unfollow in a few days.
Sure.
Like it'd be interesting to look back in another week and see
how many
they lost.
Mm-hmm.
So that was number one. So that was surprisingly low to me turnout.
It really is.
It's interesting. They broke it down by platform too. And on TikTok, Amazon had the, which wasn't even kind of in the other categories, wasn't a top 10 finisher. Amazon got 7,200 people on TikTok during the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Yeah. So weird. And I'll at the end of the show, I'll right before we end. So these are all, I'll just say it now. All these are from Ad Age. If you want to go on, a lot of these articles are on Ad Age, adage.com. So the other thing I saw that I thought was interesting is there was a Brady Gronk T-Mobile commercial that was banned from the Super Bowl that apparently was better than any of the Super Bowl commercials. So you might want to search that out and take a look at that if you're a listener. And then there was also Audi Norway did a commercial getting back at Will Ferrell and GM. So those are two to
this
kind of look
after up. The fact. So they're still, this ran.
This was yeah. It. So this is probably currently running.
Yeah. Which I think that's smart to just kind of ride on the coattails of something. And
absolutely.
Without spending it creates, the money.
You know, yeah. People love the, and they've got one of the Game of Thrones guys as the star. Mm-hmm. They got the globe with the hole punched in it. Like, you know, it's like they picked it up right.
Sure.
Right where they left off. Yeah. And which is, yeah, it's smart. Like,
yeah. Thanks for paying all the money for this ad.
Yeah. And
we'll
takes all the thinking out of it. Right. It's like, oh, cause it's so much easier to ride off that than it is to create something brand new.
Absolutely.
But it can be just as effective. So like, what are your competitors doing that you could kind of piggyback on and either make fun of or ride on the back of, you know, we see that sometimes, but I don't think most people use that enough.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of Facebook ads that your market, your niche sees over and over that you could easily make fun of.
Sure.
You know, do a spoof of. Mm-hmm. Who's the guy that did, he had a book that he was doing and he did a spoof of Grant Cardone. Like it was great. It was like a free plus shipping offer. And he like popped his collar and messed up his hair and then did like this Grant Cardone accent. He was on a private jet and he was like, you know, and he was basically being Grant. I think he calls himself Can't Cardone. It's his character name. It's great. I mean, the guy does a good impression.
Sure.
And he pitches his own product using Grant's basically likeness, you know? So, and that kind of stuff's fun. And people appreciate that just because it is a little bit lighter. It's not so serious. They know you're kind of making a joke. And I think that's really, really powerful advertising. Well,
he'll get a cease and desist pretty soon though.
But that's the whole thing right now is that you're going to have to be more creative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're going to have to really think about what you're doing before you just throw something together and throw it out there.
Right.
You know, and you know, people got used to just putting any old thing out there and it would work or not work.
And I think 3 years ago, I think that made sense because it was cheap to test. Like, why wouldn't you? Because the fact is you don't really know what's going to work. And when it's cheap, you can take some big risk and some big gambles.
That's right.
But now that the market is matured, the platform is matured, you have to go back to like tried and true basics and best practices and things like that until a new platform opens up that allows you to be a little bit more adventurous and take some new risk. And which I think is now going to be organic. Like you'll have to go back to organic to do that kind of stuff.
That's right. And then in Facebook, I mean, just from a, you know, whether you love Facebook or you hate it, doesn't really matter. They're going to invest in, because the bulk of their business comes from smaller advertisers. It's not the big guys.
Right.
That's what, I mean, lot of smaller advertisers that they do well. And so they're going to have to do something if they want to keep their revenue up. So they'll think of something, you know, and they already have some things that they're trying to do. It's just not proven yet or tested out yet.
So you think they'll do that, or do you think they'll try to shift to a more corporate, you know, Fortune 1000, go after those people that can spend, you know, 10x what 1,000 smaller customers can do combined?
Probably both.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they'll make a play at both.
Because, it is true. If I go on my average feed on my Facebook, there's very few, if any, Fortune 1000 companies on there.
That's right.
Which is strange because you'd think they'd be in there by now, but they're not. Last thing I wanted to cover, just because I saw it.
Talk about the Jeep.
Jeep, yeah.
Because my guess is they got more. They're getting more pub from the aftermath, right? I mean,
yeah. So if you don't know, I mean, Jeep did a commercial with Bruce Springsteen as their host or their person, I guess, personality. And then he gets arrested for DWI, which for a car brand, especially, that's kind of ironic. You know, it's like,
that's what I'm saying. Was this planned or what? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, if it was
not the boss of that, I guess.
It's like, man, it's like, so, yeah, how they deal with that, it got pulled. So they did pull the ad,
but it's still on his.
They should have had him. If they did play it, they should have had him, you know, they should have played Born to Run and have him get away.
That's perfect, man. That's perfect.
Yeah, it could have gone with the Bronco. Oh, no, that's Ford.
That's,
not.
That's right. Either way.
No white Broncos were harmed in the making of this ad.
So Jeep, they completely pulled. So they don't have that ad running anywhere, even though I think Springsteen obviously still has it on his Twitter. I believe he still left it up.
Yeah, it's probably the least of his worries right now, pulling his Twitter tweets.
So he's still advertising for them. They're probably just paying him like, hey, we're going to pull this, and we need you to keep that up there, buddy. And
that's part of his deal. Here's the kind of in between the lines, and this is where it's kind of like the Robin Hood thing, right? So apparently the incident happened 2 months before the ad was even shot. Mm. So now it's like you picked a guy with a DWI to advertise your car brand. Like, is that a good idea? You know, it's like, should Robin Hood have pulled their ad after their whole debacle? You know, and you just can't hide this kind of stuff anymore. Mm-mm. You know, it's like you used to be able to get away with that. Yeah. I don't know if it's just these companies are just so big and out of touch that they think they can get away with it. Mm-hmm. But you just can't get away with it anymore. Yeah. Like, everybody's going to know who owns the company. I mean, everything. It's just, it's tough. Like, nothing is hidden anymore, which can be scary if you're a advertiser and you're trying to create, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you either got to be like Eminem and 8 Mile and just like lay it all out there so they can't use it against you.
Well, it can be scary, but it can also, I don't know about you, but I only saw like during the Super Bowl, because most people were talking and I only caught like a snippet of the commercial. But after hearing, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people are like this, after hearing about what happened, generates a little curiosity. So you want to go and kind of find out, look at that ad. Then you find out you can't find it and there's only one place to find it.
So it'd be interesting to see, you know, because who was it that said back in the days, like, there's no bad publicity, just publicity. Exactly. So, I don't know. I mean, there's some, country singers who would probably disagree with that this week. I mean, with cancel culture and everything else, it's like, it's a fine line to walk, but I think you just have to put your best work out there, but it is kind of questionable if you know something like this happened beforehand,
right?
Like, if he got drunk on the way home from the Super Bowl, that'd be one thing. But if you kind of knew this was on his record, those are public record type things, you know. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
You almost need like a due diligence person for your ads if you're hiring outside people or influencers or anything like that. Right. And I think that's something to take away. Like, because I know a lot more brands are using these micro influencers to do their stuff. You might want to do a little bit of a background check on your choice of influencer before you stick your brand name on them.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, Jonathan, I know you got to go. You're celebrating New Year's today, right?
Yeah.
I'm a little celebrating better late than never.
February though?
But like I said, today is Chinese Lunar New Year, so it's like good timing. Actually, if you're going to reschedule New Year's, you might as well do it on New Year's.
Might as well do it today. Right.
So,
So, yeah, we've got some friends. We have a tradition. We get together with them for New Year's. They have kind of a big gathering, not a huge gathering, but a big gathering over at their place every December 31st. Yeah. But a number of people had COVID this year, including the guy that hosted it. So that was out of the question. So
party poopers.
Just a little, just a little flu bug, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But no, we're going to redo it tonight, so should be fun. We're even doing fireworks on in February, so should be a lot of fun.
All right, that's cool, man. Good. So,
I like it.
We'll let Ben sign us out.
Ben, where can people find out more about you? Where can they do number five?
They can jump on Facebook and message me personally, Ben Blackmon, BLACKMON, just like it is on the screen. Or they can email me at Ben@onefocusmarketing, and it's onefocusmarketing.com.
There you go.
Boom.
When are you going to do a new podcast?
Hmm?
Are you still doing the show, or is that?
Well, I have a bunch of episodes that I just haven't recorded. I've already laid them all out. I just haven't done them yet. Because I work on something else, but
yeah,
they'll be coming out.
Okay,
cool. Season, we'll just call that season two.
Season two?
Like season four, three.
Okay, yeah, see? So it's not that you stop doing them, it's just it's season a new season.
Sure. I mean, if two episodes is a season, then we'll say season 12. Okay.
Shh.
I'm just kidding.
It's amazing. It's all perception.
That's right. All right, Ben, thanks again. Guys, it's been fun. To all of our listeners, you can find us over at persuasionbythepint.com. You can find us on all of your platforms, Stitcher Radio, iHeart, Spotify. I almost said Spotify. Spotify. And, man, it's been fun, man. Let's do this again soon.
Yes, sir. You enjoy yourself, Jonathan. Have fun at your party.